so good to be here. This is my second Christmas in Bristol, but the first one I was single then. So this is my first Christmas as a married woman. That makes it so special. Yeah, because a couple of months ago, I decided to take on Pastor Benson's last name. Brother Charles and Brother Ugo were witnesses to that, right? It's so lovely and so beautiful to be here. And I want to say thank you so much for this opportunity. I do not take it lightly. Everyone is looking so beautiful and lovely. I can, you know, feel Christmas in the air. It's been a wonderful service already. I feel like the message has been passed across from all the beautiful Christmas carols and the children's song. Wasn't that lovely?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. You know, those things might look insignificant, but they're seeds that have been sown into the life of those children. And I tell you, those seeds are going to be watered as they grow up, as they, you know, irrespective of where they go in life. They have a tag on them. There's something I believe, oh, okay, I know I have 15 minutes, but sometimes I love to talk, so I have to question myself. Okay, you know, I always say something that our children have tags on them. As long as that child is born in the house of the Lord, as long as that child is dedicated to the Lord, no matter where they go in life, you know, when you're traveling and your luggage get lost, I mean, I don't pray that happens, but because it can be frustrating. But because you know that tag that the luggage has, no matter where the luggage goes, that's what it will use to identify you, and it will come back. So if your destination is Bristol, and your luggage finds itself maybe in China or wherever, Nigeria, somewhere in Zimbabwe or whatever, you know, no matter where that luggage goes, because of the tag, it's coming back. The tag has your name, it has your address on it. That's the same way with every child that has been dedicated to the Lord. They have the stamp of the Lord on them, and they are coming back. To the house of the Lord, your banner will raise the banners of Christ high. So thank you. Great job. Thanks for working so hard in the life of those children. Christ the Savior is born. Can everybody echo that?
Christ the Savior
is
born.
Christ the Savior is born. You're going to get used to me. I love to shout sometimes, you know. In an open space with cubicles and my desk mates, the lady beside me, one day was like, "Peace, I can hear every of your meeting." And I'm like, "I'm sorry, I'm African. I don't know how to keep it down." So you can as well join my meeting next time. So someone may be loud. Christ the Savior is born. This is something we need to remind ourselves constantly. You know, I don't know what the public transport is like here, but back in Canada, the public transport will have this display on them that will say, lest we forget, and then the name of their final destination. And I wonder why they put that display there, but I think it's more for the passengers, not even for the drivers, so that you know where that bus is heading towards. And if you are not going in that direction, don't get on the bus. If not, you'll find yourself in a totally different place, you know? But when you see it, you're constantly reminded, you know where the bus is going. I think that's the kind of reminder we need sometimes. To remind ourselves in Christmas, the reason why we celebrate. Because it's easy for you to get lost in all the activities and all the things that we do. And we just get distracted. And you know, when we don't remind ourselves, it's easy to just get carried away by everything that happens around the world. And the world will define Christmas to us if we're not careful. We don't even as believers, and we don't want that to happen. Christ is the reason why we celebrate. Christ the Savior is born. You know, When we look at the story of Jesus, the story of the birth of Jesus, the significance is that the Son of God, the second person of Trinity, came down and dwelt among us. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the mighty God. What have we done to deserve that? But that is the story of Christmas. That is the reason why we celebrate that the King of Kings came. The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwell among us. Jesus is the reason why we celebrate. And we've been looking for a couple of weeks. We've been going through a topic, looking for Jesus. And we've been looking at the wise men, the shepherd, the priest, and the king. We're just gonna, you know, we're gonna flip it around a little bit this morning. And can we just have a quick word of prayer? Jesus, we thank you because your word is life, your word is power. And I just pray this morning that you open our hearts to receive all that you have for us. We pray that the entrance of your word will give light and it will give understanding to us. That by the time we leave the space, we would have had an encounter with the word of God that would transform our world and would change everything around us. In Jesus' name, and everyone who believes said,
amen.
Amen. You know, we're looking at looking for Jesus. But the flip side of it is that when we look for Jesus, is a response to the fact that Jesus is the one that came looking for us first. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. He's the Word that became flesh and tabernacle among us. It's the one that God sent, you know, to redeem us and establish that relationship that we lost back to him. There's no way we talk about Christmas and we will go back to the Garden of Eden. But I don't have time to do that this morning. We know what happened, right, in the Garden of Eden. And that is why this is like that second chance for humanity to be redeemed and called back into relationship with God. So Jesus is the expression of God's love to us. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise. You know what happened in the Garden of Eden when we thought, the relationship or the position of man was taken away from him because of the temptation and all of that and all of that. And the devil didn't realize that was just a season one of the story. And God was already steps ahead of the devil, and he sent his only son to die and bring us back into that relationship. So Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise of God. Jesus is the expression of God's love. And Jesus is the gift of God, is the gift of love. So this morning, I just want to remind us of that special gift. Something that is spectacular or special about Christmas is gift giving, right? We probably all have Christmas tree set up with gifts under the tree, right? Yes, that is what we do in Christmas. And that actually signifies what Christmas represents. Christmas, we celebrate the gift of God. And what gives the gift of love that was sent to mankind. And when there is a gift, when someone gives a gift, there has to be receiving and there has to be response. Actually, let me share this. One of the culture shocks that I had when I got to Canada was in the area of gifts, giving and receiving gifts. You know, back home, when someone gives you a gift, you collect the gift, you say thank you, you take it home, you wrap it, get excited, say thank you, and that's good, you know? But when you do that with my people, it comes across as being rude or not appreciative of the gift. So when you receive a gift, you're meant to unwrap it in the presence of the person that gave you the gift, because your response is actually more valuable than you later taking it home and sending a message or whatever. The person wants to see that you love the gift, you appreciate it. So when Canadians give you gifts, you open it, you get excited. Oh, I love it. Even if you don't love it, you have to put up a drama. And everybody is happy. And when that is the way Christ came, he's the gift of God to us. And we have to receive the gift in response. Our response to that gift is what we're going to talk about this morning. The gift of love. And how can we talk about the love of God without going to that scripture that everybody knows? John 3:16. Can we all read it together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That scripture, everybody believes it, right? And it's easy to believe when we say, for God so loved the world. But when you begin, when you swap the word world with your name, and you take a moment to really sit down and think about it, do you truly believe that God really loves Sister Patience? That God really loves Sister Tumelo? That God really loves Sister Kemi? Truly, that if you were the only one on earth, Christ would have still come to die for you. That irrespective of what we're going through, God still loves us. So many things happen that makes us question that love. But you know what? The love of God is the only love that is perfect, everlasting, and consistent. No matter what, it's good to, love people around, love your spouse, love your children, parents, love your children, love your parents and all of that, because there's something in man that craves for love. You want to give love and you want to receive love. But the only love that satisfies is the love of the Father. It's the only love that never fails. I mean, we disappoint our spouses sometimes unintentionally. Right? But not me. I've never. Because I'm so perfect. And sometimes what makes us doubt that love is because we just can't comprehend the power, the potency of the love of God, because it is supernatural. It's the only love that has the power to change a soul and turn your life around totally. And so because for us human beings, our understanding is a little limited because of what we see around us. When I say I love something or I love you, sometimes it's probably because of the benefits that I have. For example, like I can say I love Louis Vuitton. I love, material things. That's the kind of love that the object places value on the person declaring that love, expressing the love. I know somebody here that loves super dry. Does anybody, do you know that person? Okay, I'm not going to mention names. some people love luxurious cars. That's because it makes them feel good. I can say, I love Louis Vuitton. I love NK. Where are my ladies in the house? I love this. It's because that thing gives you value. But the love of the Father is different. That is why it takes an encounter to understand it. The love of the Father. How am I doing with time? Okay. The love of the Father is the love that places value and treasures the person that is receiving the love. Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's not the love that you deserve, but he makes you worthy of it. It's not a love that we can comprehend, but when he opens our eyes and opens our hearts, we are able to understand that power of love. That irrespective of what you've gone through, irrespective of what you've done, irrespective of what you're going through, his love endures forever. And sometimes we doubt that love. We're saying, I prayed and God, it doesn't seem like you answered that prayer. If you truly love me, you would have answered my prayer. I accepted Christ when I was 10. And that was after my mother died. It was hard for me. It was like a turning point. It was hard for me to understand that the Lord, God that says he loves me so much, will kill my mother. But when I experienced his love in my heart, it changed my life. It turned my life around. It's only the power of God's love that is able to change us. And sometimes, you know, when we're going through difficult times, that makes us doubt his love. When we are able to just take a moment and sit down and allow his love to minister to us, we will know that the promise of his presence, Emmanuel, he's always there. He promised he will not leave you nor forsake you. And that's the power of that love. The Emmanuel God with us. That when you walk through fire, he will still be with you. When you walk through water, you won't be consumed. You will not drown because he is there with you. He will see you through it. You know, when sometimes some things are happening and it seems the devil is, you know, winning, you can tell the devil this is just season one, because the fact that you are alive means there's a second part to that story. And you know what? God is always steps ahead of what the devil is doing. And he always wins. There is no way. He makes all things work together for good. I don't have time to share stories or to share things this morning, but I really, really do have. But I'm going to run right now. Okay, I want to talk about, just to round up, I know I need to get out of here. If I'm right. Yeah. You know, I want to share something really quickly. Let me just take that leave at it. I'm just talking about the love of God. You know, sometimes when we go through stuff and I think, has anybody here ever trusted God for something? Like you prayed and that you did not receive that thing. Maybe I'm the only one. It has happened to me before.
It's happened to me
too. Okay. And we feel disappointed, right? Yes. And how many people have ever prayed and it was answered?
Yes.
That's God's faithfulness. It's easy to believe and declare that God loves you in a moment like that. But in a moment where those prayers were not answered, in moments when it seems what he has promised you is not happening, it makes us doubt his love. Let me share a quick story. I remember when I was doing my Canadian immigration. That was over 15 years ago. You know, I'd received a word from the Lord that I would be going to Canada. I was excited, you know, and I felt it was the right time to apply. You know, with excitement, I applied, submitted my application, started planning. I was prophesying every morning, saying, Lord, in the next couple of months, I am in Canada. You know how we do it. We were praying because you received the word. Have you received God's word concerning the situation today? That is the first thing you need to do. When you are in a situation and you don't understand or you really want to know the way to go, seek the word of God. What is God saying? That is the first thing. Or about that situation, what is he saying? Because you can always bank on it. You can hold on to it. Guess what? Few weeks after my application, you know, think one interesting thing that I shouldn't miss. The morning that I received the letter, there was, you know, God ministered to me through many things, through pictures, through dreams, through songs. So this morning, a song was coming to my mind. It's a Nigerian Yoruba song. How many Yorubas are here? Oh, okay. The song is kind of like, I've received the letter of joy. I've received the letter of joy, you know? I received the letter of joy. So in my mind, I was calabashing and praising God. God, I received this letter of joy. Lo and behold, my sister called me and said, peace, I got a letter for you. I said, yes, it has happened. And when she told me the content of the letter, I was like, God, that end letter of joy. It's actually a letter of sadness. Because my application was rejected. And I said, Father, that was not what we talked about. So I was discouraged. And that's a word for someone here today. If you're in a situation that doesn't look like what God has promised you, do not give up. Don't give up. Because it's not the end of the story yet. So I had a short window of application. And I had a couple of weeks left, maybe like 3 weeks left, that it was my sister was applying for me. My sister was already in Canada. She was the one inviting me. She had already given up. She was like, I mean, it's just 3 weeks. I mean, what are you going to do within 3 weeks? Like nothing, like this is gone. But I was discouraged. And something just came to my mind. God promised you this. Why don't you just go back to him? So I prayed. I said, God, what's going on? And I had a dream. And in that dream was, you know, I won't go into the details of the dream, but God gave me the courage and interpretation of the dream to reapply, even in that short window. Do you know I reapplied? And it was such a smooth application. I got it. Now, actually, the main message in this is that if the first application had been accepted and I traveled at that time, it was a wrong time to go. It was a wrong time. Actually, my sister would have actually sent me to a different province to meet my uncle there because it was totally like a wrong time. See how God orchestrated it and worked all things together for good. I hope someone is encouraged by that testimony today, that it's not over yet as long as God has given you a word. And you might be doing it in a different way. He has 1 million strategies, and his love endures forever. How are we going to respond to his love? Pastor looked at King Herod when he heard about Jesus. So I won't go into King Herod, but I'm going to focus on the wise men today, the wise men and the shepherds. They had something similar to them, to their story. When the wise men, when they saw Jesus, the Bible says they worshipped. Sorry. Yeah. I know Bible, though. I know I haven't opened the scripture today. But, yeah, they responded in worship. And so the shepherds, when the Bible says they were praising God, rejoicing. The wise men responded, the Bible says, and they brought gifts, sacrifice, to lay down. So what are you going to give in response to the love of God? How are you going to respond to the one who came looking for you? The best response you can give is to give your life. Lay down your life. Lay down your life as a sacrifice. David says, I will not give God something that does not cost me anything. And how do you respond? You respond in worship. You respond in worship. The worship God, there's something in every man that wants to worship. The question is, who or what are you worshiping? Because whether we like it or not, we are worshiping something. And so the posture of worship is the posture of surrender. Have you ever, how we are the graphic artists in the house. When you see a picture of worship, when someone is worshiping, their hands are together like this, right? That's a posture of humility and surrender, or hands up, or they're kneeling down. That's the position of surrender. And that is what God is calling us to surrender to him in worship, to lay down our pains, our gain, our hopes, our doubts, our future, our achievements, and the things we have not achieved. He's calling us to lay it down as a sacrifice before him. What are you going to offer today as a sacrifice before God? The Bible says he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek you and to save you. The priest knew about God. The priest actually were the ones that King Herod called when he heard about the birth of Jesus. They actually referenced the scripture. They referenced Micah chapter 5, that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. And who did they represent? Did they see Jesus? The priest did not seek Jesus, but they knew about Jesus. So it's not about knowing the scripture, but it's about responding in faith to the scripture. It's about laying it all down to worship. So it's not about just, you know, having an idea. And you know what? They're actually in proximity. Compared to the wise men came from afar off, maybe Babylon or wherever, like miles away. But the priests are close by, yet they could not seek Jesus. They have the head knowledge, but not the revelational knowledge. Would you seek to experience the love of the Father today? Would you seek to experience God in a unique way today? They lay it all down. That position of surrender. Today I pray that you will experience the power of God's love that is able to heal your soul, that is able to visit your past and visit your present and change, turn things around. And you will know that His love is real, and you will be an example and a testimony to the world around you. God is doing a new thing. He is starting something new in your life. But before He can do that new thing, you must experience Him. You must lay it down. You must come to His presence in worship and in adoration unto Him, in surrender. He says, "Behold, I will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth." He's doing it now. He wants to work in you and work through you. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, King of kings, Lord of lords, Yahweh, the one who was and is to come, we thank you for the power of your love. Lord, you know us, you see us. You know where we are. And I just pray that everyone here today will experience your love in a unique way. That you will bring healing to those places that are hurting. That you will encourage us in those places where we are experiencing weariness. That for every doubt, you will replace it with your faith and power. Father, we thank you because you are good. We reference you. We celebrate all that you've done and all that you are doing for us. In Jesus' name we pray.